All right, let's give it a few minutes. Those who listen, Andre had, he's rebooting his computer. He had mic issues. Okay, and I just emailed myself that prayer request, by the way, Brother Private. All right, let's see. Pray for. Amen and amen. Oh, I just got a text from Matthew. I think that's from Matthew. All right, I'll give him textability soon. Wait, Don, Leanne, and, well, DJ. Yeah, he's not going to have text. His mom doesn't want him to have textability. All right, is Andre ready? Oh, he's not even in here yet. Let's wait for him to get his mic back up and running. And everybody came. I don't know why, but I think it was a bandwidth thing because we had 30 families in the radio and it went to zero. But, ooh, what was that? Is that, was that a private message from somebody? Like somebody hit a bell or something? Okay. Is that, I think that's the chat room making them noises. This new chat room. Yeah, that's going to go bye-bye. All right, let's see. Yeah, no problem, Alex. I totally understand, 100%. Okay, Andre, when he comes in, just tell him to put his hand up. So how's the weather? Have you noticed any clouds recently? It's just like with, I remember Fran told me about this one time, and it was really funny. The guy in Hawaii, the weatherman was gone. Oh, and everybody, oh no, it wasn't in Hawaii. He was one of the guys, the weatherman out here in the States, and he was going, oh, and by the way, we got some shocking news. A weather event in Hawaii that a cloud is coming towards them. Stuff like that, because they're always got perfect weather, you know. There's like a little tiny puffy clouds coming, you know. Oh, that was you, Gilbert? Okay, so that's the direct message then, right? Okay, so he finally, that means he already responded to my, was that the direct message? Wait, because I don't see you. Yeah, you were in there. Okay, how did you do that, Gilbert? or did Samuel Murray just do that? Is child guidance from Ellen White a safe book? I don't know. I haven't read all their stuff. Contact vbates.com. They'll let you know. Caleb's on the phone. Okay, so it wasn't Caleb. Click back to site, then click WTPR to play. That's what I did about, yeah, sometimes that's a refresh. Amen. What Leticia just said, just like an F5 on a keyboard or leave and come back. Yeah, so yeah, now, yeah, we got 15 families back on the radio, which is probably the norm. Is Andre back? Because maybe he's got an old, I think he's, oh, yep, he is. Okay, let me drop the mic. God bless everybody. Take care. Love you. Sabbath blessings. Check the mic, Andre. I don't know if you got a battery operated one or not. I used to use one of those shotgun mics. They had to have a AAA in it. But, and boy, you put an ear on it, you can hear people across a football field, even if they're whispering. You point it right at them. It's what they use on football fields, in fact. Now, don't restart. We can restart the room, but I would go into control panel and look at sound settings because Windows did an update recently, so they might have changed your mic. You know, you have to make sure your mic is hot. It's usable. It pauses when I go in here. So. Or you could try this because the, you know, let me just see if we can hit it here. Okay, well, give me a second, Andre. I'm looking for something here. Playback. No, let me hit this one. Settings. Okay, there you go. All right. Click, you know, that camera box in the top left corner of the chat room, Andre? Is he still here? Oh man, I think he left. You don't have to lead the room to do that part. So, yeah, the top left corner of the chat room, you got that black box. That's where your face will appear if you turn on your camera. If you right-click it and hit settings, you might notice there that the mic has been turned off. So, because it's a Flash thing. Flash just did an update. We're back up to 25 families on the radio, so let's give it a minute. Okay. Horse Gorn, 7 years ago. Our forefathers brought forth a new nation. And boy, did you people mess it up. We can go on for hours talking about that. Trying to figure out where Andre's going to pick up. I think he's up by the clouds, right? Yeah, he's a cloud. So I got to look up in that area. I just got an email. Oh, that's for me to pray for somebody. So let me put that in my prayer stack. Brother Lewis, you got to do something about your signature, man. In a week or two, I'm going to completely forget that's you again. It's just, it's like handles. You know, when you get up in my age, you don't remember all those things. Because I knew the handles back in the day, but we decided all the... Oh, Andre's back. All right, so let me drop the mic. Go for it.
All right, if it don't work this time, I'm going to know something. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? All right, here we go. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, it's working. Oh, it's working. It's working. I had to switch computers. I had to switch computers.
Yeah, we're talking about how this one's about to retire.
It's good to have a backup because the one we're using now is it's on its last legs. We're getting ready to retire this thing. That's what we're about to do. We're about to go ahead and have a little syrup. Praise the Lord. We were over here scrambling, like, what can we do? What can we do? But we figured out something and we got it working. So we're good to go. We are good to go. All right. All right. Sabbath blessings, everyone. Sabbath blessings. You know, the devil tried to throw a little monkey wrench in the work and in the plans. But the Lord always makes a way. He always makes a way. So Sabbath blessings to you all. Didn't have a lot to get into, but that did kind of set us back a little bit. But that's fine. Brothers and sisters, y'all have no idea how giddy I am about this house. I've been very, very excited about it. I'm talking to my family, especially my mom. She's talking like she's getting ready to move into the house. I went to go and have a meeting with the owner. And we're just going over some of the paperwork, some of the details. And while we were going through the paperwork, it kept stating that you can't have any pets. Now, when I first went out there to go meet with them, I made a discussion about my daughter. We want to have some chickens. But as like I said, as I was going through the paperwork, I kept reading that clause. Well, I had no idea at the very end of the paperwork that they had put a little clause in there that allowed us to have chickens on the property. So God is good. We are able to have chickens on the property. I also found out that it has a pecan tree in the backyard. He said we are able to freely go for what we know as far as our access to a cornfield. And this thing stretches out for miles. I mean, it's like corn for days. And when I say it is, it's country. It is country. But this is what we've been looking for. We've been praying for this, and we've got it. And God is good. We are very, very, very excited to get into this house. Very, very excited. I already told my kids, I mean, as soon as sundown hits, we are right back at it. We've been packing up boxes, getting things good to go. But in about a month or so, that's when we'll have everything finalized and get ready to make that move. So God is working. He is working for us. You know, we got that well water going. Oh, that's so. Just, so you ain't got to worry about no kind of water bill, nothing. It's all well water. So I mean, just everything's coming together. It really, really is. And we've been waiting on this a long, long time. And here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. So I'm just so excited. You have no idea. I'm so excited. But you know how it is when you wait for so long and then it finally comes. You know, you can't help but just be so happy and to praise God for this movement to finally come together. All right, let me pull up a few things that I had. Let me see if I can get it. Give me 1 second, cause where? All right. Can find it. All right, this was about the CDC. And let me see. Where was this? All right, this one. Yes, this. I am renting. I had a GI Bill. Because, you know, you go to the Army, you get a little GI Bill you can use that, with a VA loan and all that good stuff. And you can use the VA loan to be able to get a house. But, I mean, look at what time it is, brother. Look at what time it is. You know, to be able to try to get that now, you know, it took like a 20-year, 30-year mortgage. Something like that ain't happening. That definitely is not going to happen. So you're going to go ahead and just rent and see how it goes. Because you know, sooner or later, it's going to come to an end. It's going to come to an end. So it makes no sense with me to be able to go full forward and go ahead and, you know, get into a mortgage now. That just would not make any sense at all. So to go ahead and just rent, me going around the city and just looking where a town is at, because where the house is located, where a town is at, that's a good little drive. But me just going through the area, and I'm sure a lot of you have done the same thing. You just see, like, hey, places where you can go and you can witness. You got tracks. I mean, to me, this is like unscathed territory. I can just go in strong with, you know, and be able to do the work. I'm just like, man, I can go here. It's a major university over here. I mean, there's just thousands of souls that have no idea about Present Truth. You just go in there and just, you know, do what you got to do. So I just remember my eyes just lighting up and like, man, here it is. It's an excellent opportunity. And we're way on the outskirts, like nowhere near the city, but well, you know, not too far from everything is within driving distance. So can you run? Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, I went around and did just a little bit of surveying the land. And it's when you say hilly, I'm glad you mentioned that because it is hilly. When me and the kids are riding through, it was like a lot of like we were going through a roller coaster. Everything's like up and down, up and down, up and down. If you've ever ridden through like Georgia or through Atlanta, a lot of that city is going on like hills. It's very, very hilly. So in the kind of the same area we were at, where the house is situated, we were just looking like, hey, we want some bicycles. We're going to go down these hills. We're going to test these things out. Me and the kids, we're kind of excited about that, just going up and down those hills. But when we do get that opportunity, once we finally get in and get settled in, we can get to go out there in the woods and kind of see what's going on. I mean, when I say it's country, it is country. From where I'm at now, it is out there. It's a good little 100-mile drive. So I'm definitely going to have to seek some new employment, which is fine. When we moved to South Carolina, I came here with a good paying job. I came in with a good paying job, but I've shared my testimony before about what had happened as soon as I moved. When I moved in 2011, in July of 2011, a few months later, the company that I worked for went belly up, and it was a contracting company, and the school district who had hired all those contractors had fired all of them. So I came here. I just moved my family to South Carolina. And 2 months later, I didn't have a job. I did not have a job. And we had just moved into this house. And I didn't have absolutely nothing. And I remember just trying to make ends meet, and it was very, very hard. It was. I was, you know, ringing bells for the Salvation Army, trying to just get a little change. And that's when I, when everything had changed. When this lady, she had came up, and I remember I had my daughter out that night, and these random strangers were just coming up because it was cold, and I didn't, you know, I didn't kind of prepare for the weather like talking about, so we were just out there trying to, you know, get a little change, you know, ringing the bells or whatever, and these random strangers kept coming up, bringing like my daughter things. That one lady came up and brought her some gloves. Another lady came up and bought her a blanket. Said, "Here you go, little girl. You look kind of cold." So gave her a blanket. But she was just happy being out there with me, to be able to work with me. So one day while I was out there doing the bell ringing, this lady came up and she seen me because I was kind of discouraged. I'm like, man, I don't know how I'm gonna do this. You know. I got my son. He's an infant. I mean, he's just like 1 year old. And I got this house we just moved into. I don't have a job. I have, like, how am I going to do this? Like, what am I going to do? And this lady, she came up and she looked at me. She was like, "What's going on with you?" I'm like, "I'm just not too good right now. I'm just not in a good place." I'm like, "Why is everything?" I'm just kind of change the subject. And she walked up to me and she was like, "You know what, son, I'm going to pray for you." Now, mind you, we're sitting in front of Walmart where it's like people everywhere. And, you know, this lady didn't have a care in the world. She looked right in my face. She said, "OK." And she stood right there and she prayed for me. And it probably went on. Like, I don't even know how long, maybe like a good 15, 20 minutes. And she didn't care who was around or nothing. And she prayed for me. And December, right when this happened, and I was still doing the Salvation Army thing for about another 2 weeks, I want to say. Now, mind you, during that time period, I was going to the unemployment office through that whole protocol, because when you do work for the Salvation Army, they make that as a requirement that you have to go through it, because they don't want you doing this. They want you to be able to get some kind of full time employment. So I was just going up there, you know, just filling out applications, doing what I could, you know, nothing major, just something to be able to make ends meet to provide for me and my family. And I want to say, like, the early part of December, I got a phone call. I got a phone call from this guy. He said, he was describing his job in detail. He was telling me all about it. And he said, "I would like to come in and I'd like to interview you." And I never heard of this place. I had no idea what it was. I never even applied for it. But he said, "I'd like to interview you." And the interview was like several weeks out. I'm like, okay, several weeks out. I went to go and check it out, see what it was all about. Now, I also had another opportunity with this staffing agency that I had applied with. And they had me a little job doing like some temp work, working at this, HVAC plant where you make like duct work and things like that. So that job was pretty much guaranteed, but it was temp work. So it was only going to be like 5 or 6 months. And it wasn't that much. You probably paid about $10, $10 to $12 an hour or something like that. And I wasn't too enthused about it, but you know, it was work. So I didn't want to turn it down. So I went to my first day at that HVAC place, and I went to go up there and work. And I got to the place and I got ready to go in, and I sat in the car and I was talking to God. I said, "God, do you really want me to do this? 'Cause I mean, I don't feel right about this job. This isn't me. I mean, I don't think I'm supposed to be here. I mean, I know it's a job, but I just think there's something better out there." And then I sat in the car, and I was supposed to be in there at 9 o'clock, I believe, and time just kept going. And the lady at the staffing agency, a guy that interviewed me, and he was like, "Are you still available?" And I said, "Yeah, present job since 2012, and here it is 2020. And now I look back at all of that, and I'm like, "Lord, I know my time is up here. I've been here for a long, long time. I was able to witness to people, was able to and to get out into the country. And now that that opportunity has presented itself, in the same way that I went in here with nothing, I trust you in the same manner. That if I have to give up this job I'm working at now, which is pretty much going to happen, because the drive right now, it takes me about 2 hours to get from the new house to my current job. I'm like, I cannot do that every day. We're talking about 1,000 miles a week. That's impossible. That is impossible. This is where we're going to be. And whatever work he decides, whatever work he decides I'm going to do, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And we're going to run with it. And look at that. Even now, the enemy is continuing. I'm going to tell you how. Because I keep a lot of my my articles throughout the week on a notepad. And I'm looking at that notepad. And it is gone. It is gone. It is not here where I had it. It is gone. I'm looking at my notes and I don't do it. I don't see it. But fortunately, I do remember a few of them that I do want to touch on. And this first one was one that was coming from the CDC. All right, let me see here. All right, this headline reads that the CDC announces that students may be kept from parents overnight as Ohio sets up COVID-19 FEMA camps. Let me read that again. CDC, this is directly coming from the CDC. They are announcing that your child may be kept overnight in the school. In the school. Here's an excerpt from this article. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is warning parents that the children may be kept from their parents overnight due to COVID-19 concerns. Now, they put this little flyer up on their website, and I was going over this with my kids, and I said, there's no way I would even consider, or for any parent, no less, would even consider putting their children in these government schools where they can be quarantined and separated from their loved ones. And they put this in this little colorful little flyer to make it easy for the parents to read and adjust to make it something that they would want. And this is what they put down here. They said as easy as ABC. ABC. 3 steps to protect your child during emergencies in the school day. And they got these little ABCs up here. A. Ask how you would be reunited with your child in an emergency or evacuation. B. Bring extra medicine, special food, or supplies your child would need if separated overnight. And C, complete a backpack card and tuck one in your child's backpack and your wallet. Let me just break down this a little bit. This is saying, I'm gonna focus on this B part here, this B part. What they're telling you as a parent to bring extra medicine, special food, or supplies your child would need if you were separated overnight. Now, why would they need something like that? Why would they need something like that? It's an emergency might require a sudden sleepover. Tell school administrators about any extra supplies your child may need to safely make it through a night away from home. That's not going to be one night. That's not going to be one night in the school away from their parents. What are most of these, when you have to self-quarantine? What is that, 14 days, 2 weeks? 2 weeks in this school away from your parents? 30 days? That is insane. That is insane. But they make this, they dress it up so nicely and so lightly. Like, okay, this is all you have to do. There's no way. And you see a lot of these schools, a lot of them are modeled after prisons. So you see all this fencing around these schools, all this fencing. And when you put fences around a property, you put fences around an area, that's not to keep people out. That's to keep the ones that are in there from going out. Yes, planning on taking your children. Your children. All it takes is them just say one in here has COVID, and that gives them a legal reason to keep your child in these schools. That gives them a reason. Now they got to test every single one of them. They got to go through the whole protocol. Even though we all know there's nothing real about this whole pandemic, this whole COVID, but they got to push this stuff. They got to keep it going. They got to keep it going. And then if there's an issue with a child, that means they got to go to the home of the parent of that child to test them for COVID as well. I mean, it's just going to kind of keep going on and on and on and on and on. To legally take your child away from you. Or kidnapping your child. We can't even say legally taking your child. This is kidnapping. That's what this is. And they're setting this up in these schools. They're setting this up. Easy as ABC, they say. There's no way. There's absolutely no way that I would allow my child to go to any of these schools. These government schools to be controlled, to be taken away. But people would do this. All right. I want to bring up this other one because I couldn't believe when I saw it. No, I got to forgive me because, like I said, my notes just completely disappeared in this. They completely disappeared. But I do have a few of these bookmarked. This one was also a whopper, so to speak. Give me 1 second. I'll pull this up here. I can find it. All right. This is what is it? No, it was just one about the they want to give these people this money. Let me see. Bear with me 1 second, brother.
Well, in the meantime, remember, I'm pretty sure the school 5G is probably active.
Oh, the 5G is definitely active. And a lot of these schools that are not open right now, like that are still in the virtual setting, that are still in the virtual setting, they have not completed their installation. But once they get that fully installed, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They'll definitely be having these kids go back to these. Having these kids go back to these schools. And be under that 5G radiation. Right, let me see if I can pull this up right here. 1,000. I can find it. Or Yahoo Finance. That's what it was. Yahoo Finance. 1,000. Thanks. Here it is. Alright, here it is. Alright, this is from the Brookings Institute. Now, if anybody knows just a little bit about the Brookings Institute, and if you don't know, do some research on them. Because these are the people And they're still currently working right now. These are the people that had a hand in bringing down America from the slightly moral Christian country that it was, you know, back in the 50s, 40s, when we did have morals. But these are the ones who introduced Led Zeppelin, the Beatles, Aleister Crowley, you know, bringing them into the forefront. And just slowly degrading America over time. Slowly degrading America from the morals that it once had to now just everything that is evil is currently acceptable and being uplifted as good. These people, they are saying that we want to pay Americans $1,000, $1,000. To take the COVID vaccine. $1,000 to take the COVID vaccine. Now this article reads, public health experts are increasingly concerned about the possibility that a coronavirus vaccine will be successfully developed, but not enough Americans will be willing to receive it. About 70% of the population being vaccinated represents the threshold needed for herd immunity. Given the potential problem, an expert from the Brookings Institute suggests that the government pay $1,000 to each American that takes this vaccine. Why are they so content on wanting to give the American people this vaccine? I mean, they are trying every mean necessary. I mean, I just read one the other day when they ran some trials on a few individuals, and they all had this unexplained mystery illness. They didn't detail what the illness was, but these people were coming down with this illness that were undergoing these COVID-19 vaccine trials. And here it is. They're still pushing this vaccine out. Still pushing it out here. And will pay you to take it. Will pay you to take it. And you see the desperation of a lot of people right now with the uncertainty, with the economy, with the loss of their jobs, businesses being shut down. Oh, thank you, sister. Thank you for that link. Thank you so much. Businesses being shut down. And they're hurting for income, and now they want to give you this money to be able to take this vaccine. You know, people left and right are going to be signing up. Lack of knowledge, not knowing what is even inside this thing. I mean, every year people go in and get the flu shot because they're afraid of the flu. It took full advantage of something that God designed, that we have our spring season, we have our summer season, we have our fall, and we have our winter. People are healthy, and people get sick. But the CDC decided to take that winter season and call it flu season. And say, hey, when flu season comes around, you got to get your flu shot. You got to get your shot. And now, here it is, they want to give you money? Money. I can tell you that, brother, $1,000 in my household does not last long. it does not last long. When you look at the amount of bills, you know, between the rent and utilities, that's going pretty quick. But to a hand that's really in need, that's accustomed to getting a certain amount every month. Oh, just to take a little shot, they sign me up, and people will do it. They will do it. They will gladly do it. And it's sad. It really, really is that they're offering this kind of money to people to take this shot. The Brookings Institute. Oh yeah, Every link that I share, sister, I will definitely post into the chat. I will post into the chat. So think about this. I mean, again, if you research what is going on with this vaccine, the things that it consists of, what they're putting in it. And I've heard I can change your molecular structure, how I can change your DNA, how this thing can get into you and just wreak havoc. I mean, untested. I mean, why do we even need this? Why do we even need this? I look around and the same people that I converse with ever since this started are the same people I'm conversing with now. My family's fine. My associates are fine. No one is dying from this disease. No one, or this virus. No one is dying from it. This was all a step to get us to climate change. This is all that big, huge step to lead us to the enforcement of the mark. You see how easy it is when it comes to the mask mandate. People just put the mask on, they don't think twice about it. And it's been proven by so many doctors over and over and over that these things do not work. They do not work. I mean, what is the purpose of you putting on this mask if it doesn't work? And what is the purpose of someone else coming hard on them because they don't want to wear a mask? If you have on a mask, then what is the issue? What is the problem if you have it on? Just like it was with a vaccine. What is the issue? If you're vaccinated, then why are you coming down on people who are unvaccinated? I thought you were protected. You should be good to go. Why are you giving the people who are unvaccinated a hard time? Why are you giving the ones who do not want to wear a mask a hard time? But I keep coming across so many videos. I mean, these are officers who are attacking kids. Who are attacking kids because they don't want to wear a mask. Or another one that I came across where this officer had tackled this elderly lady. I mean, probably someone's grandmother, if not great-grandmother. She had a cell phone out, getting ready to record the whole incident. One officer came up, took the cell phone, and tackled the lady. And just straight football tackled her because she didn't have a mask on. It is pure insanity. That's what it is. Absolute insanity. This is what they're doing. They're framing the mindset. They're framing the mindset, and they're continuing to use our young people to advance it. And if you don't think there's an attack on our youth, brothers and sisters, if you haven't seen what's going on with this whole Netflix cuties thing, I mean, I overheard a little bit of before, and the whole controversy behind it. I don't watch Netflix. I haven't had a Netflix account in years. Like, I was just a waste of money anyway. I used to get rid of this stuff way before I would even, before I became saved. I was like, this is just too much. I don't even watch this thing half the time. But when I looked into it and I thought about it, I'm like, this is like borderline pedophilia right here. I mean, if they put this out here in the limelight on Netflix as if it's nothing, the backlash behind it is minimal, very minimal. So I had to go and see, like, what is this? What is all this fuss about? And they had like a little trailer. And I came across this thing. It's like, oh my goodness, what in the world? First of all, as a parent, why would you as a parent even allow your child to even be in this film? And not only that, to be on this movie or documentary or whatever this is, that means you have to do a lot of casting. You have to go through hundreds and hundreds of children to find the one that you want to be in this film. So we think about so many different men and women too, who preyed upon all these children using these cameras in different ways, different methods. It's outright disgusting when you think about it. Outright disgusting. Yet there is hardly no repercussions, no nothing going on with Netflix right now concerning this. Evil is being perpetrated as good, and good is being perpetrated as evil. There is a full-scale attack on our kids. Barack Obama opened up the door for this. He opened up the door wide open. Wide open. I mean, America was already being degraded. A lot of their morals are being taken away, and taking prayer out of school, taking the commandments, and things of that nature. Just bringing them out and being replaced. Being replaced with all these perversions. So now when it comes to pedophilia and being considered as normal, people are born this way. They're fine. They're good to go. It's only going to continue to open up the door further and further and further. And I came across one, these men, they call them techno humans. I think that's the right term. These are men now who are being classified as having infatuations with AI, Alexa, Siri, to the point where they cannot distinguish reality from human. Yeah, but they wanted to be able to marry AI, so to speak. Like, what is going on? So again, the door is open for all these different perversions. All these perversions are wide open. They're there. Okay, what you got here, Sister Mr. Leah put a link here in the room. Let me see what this is. Gotcha. Let me click that. So from the New York State Legislature. You got a copy of that, sweetheart? Okay. After the department determines with the exercise of due diligence that the suspected case, the governor or his or her delegate shall seek further court review of such detention within 90 days following the initial court order authorizing detention, and therein within 90 days of each subsequent court review, to require the testing or medical examination of persons who may have been exposed to or infected by a contagious disease, or who may have been exposed to or contaminated with dangerous amounts of radioactive materials or toxic chemicals. Yes. It's all of this between what they're putting in the food, what they're spraying on our heads. I mean, what's in the water. It's there. It is there. And they can easily say, oh, you got this. You got this issue. You got that issue. You got this problem. We got to test you. We got to detain you. We got to isolate you. And have you noticed all these different isolation facilities that are not just going up in America? They're going up all over the world. All over the world. India has isolation facilities. Greece has isolation facilities. Spain has isolation facilities. Canada is going full scale. Full scale. Australia right now is turning to a new world order society overnight. Overnight. And that was slowly being put into place here in America. We talked about last week with the military in all these different states. Military being deployed, Kenosha. Military being deployed in Arizona. Military being deployed in Massachusetts. military being deployed in Louisiana for hurricane relief. The military being deployed in California to help with the wildfire relief. And these people and these military are there, and they're there presenting themselves as for the people, to help the people by passing out food and bringing aid. But a lot of these people are being taken away by the military and are being hauled off to these isolation facilities. We know what these places are. They can sit here and disguise them. They can sit here and say, oh, these people they're gonna be okay. They're not, because we know exactly what they are. Exactly what they are. The United States Army spoke about this as soon as COVID became a thing back in March, when President Trump declared the national emergency, that they were going to use warehouses, they were going to use hotels, and basically turn them into ICUs, convert them using the Army Corps of Engineers. And they're doing that now on some college campuses. A lot of these college campuses, but they can't have school. So the state has came in and taken over them. They've taken over dormitories. They've taken over and they're beginning to convert them. They're converting them. If you look at all these hotels going up all over nationwide, these are going to be used to quarantine people. To quarantine them. And the military is right there. When the president said he's going to use the military to be able to issue this vaccine at a very rapid level, to mobilize them, using the military right now, training to detain U.S. citizens. You see how all this is coming into play, brothers and sisters. All of this. But we have nothing to fear. We're not going to sit here and worry about this, but we see the signs. We see the signs of what they're doing, what they're putting into place, and how they're manipulating these laws, manipulating these bills to use them against the people. Where they can detain you for just about anything and everything. So whatever they decide. Whatever they decide. And when you give people who have never had these powers, now they're using them. They're using them in ways that you can't even imagine. Even in the city next door to me in Savannah, and seeing how it transformed. Seeing how there's a greater police presence. Seeing drones flying overhead, telling people to social distance and put their mask on. This was unheard of this time last year. Unheard of. And that's here. I mean, we're not even talking about a major city. We're not even talking about a major city. This is being set up all over America, where the elites, the government, are starting to show their hand. And a lot of people are falling for it. The enemy is making them desperate by losing their jobs, their source of income. He's bringing all this pestilence. He wants to make them homeless so they'd be fully dependent on the government. I mean, right now in certain parts of Oregon, there are people who are not even under evacuation orders. But they're being cut off by the government. And the government is saying, like, hey, if you leave right now, if you leave this area, you can't come back. And if you attempt to come back, we're going to shut you off. This is happening in Oregon right now. Where this man had no idea. A lot of his residents had no idea about these orders. So they just left. As usual, they're going about their business, going to the stores to do their shopping, or going to the grocery stores to get supplies. And when they go back, having no idea that they can't return to their own homes. They cannot return. If you've ever seen a map of these teen FEMA ridges of the United States, they're slowly cutting off the borders. If you ever seen how it's divided up, these different FEMA zones all the way 1 through 10, they're slowly cutting off the borders, slowly locking people down under the disguise of these different crises that are going across America. Yeah. I'm going to post that article, Sister Ann. I'm going to post that article about what's going on in Oregon right now, where they're cutting off these people. They won't let them go into their own houses. Like, once they leave the evacuation zone, which wasn't even an evacuation zone to begin with, they didn't tell anyone. They just left, and they can't come back. They got people sleeping in their cars and trucks, can't even get back to their homes. I'm going to post that. I had a lot to get into, brothers and sisters, but we had a little malfunction today. But I'm going to definitely post a lot of those links that I did have. I'm going to post a lot of those links in the telechat for you guys to research. But it is the top of the hour, and I'm definitely going to have this mic issue squared away. I might just use this for now. This is actually pretty good. I'm going to post those links in the chat room. It is 5 o'clock hour. It is time for Brother Sean to hop up on the mic. So without further ado, I'm going to drop my mic. And the next voice you will hear will be that of Brother Sean. Sabbath blessings, everyone.